All right, guys, we are in the series we have called Relationship Goals. And so if you haven't been with us, we've been talking about the various relationships of our life and what those mean to us and kind of a proper stance, a proper way to look at them, a way to have those relationships based on what the Bible says. And so we've talked about, for example, we've talked about what authority is. We've talked about and what kind of relationships fall into that category, whether it's your parents, your teachers, the government. We talked about healthy relationships in our friends, having healthy friendships and what that looks like and what a friend should be and how we should be as a friend. So why are relationships such an important topic that we're talking about? You know, why are we talking about this? Why do we even do a series on it? You know, why are we spending 3 weeks on it? We could actually spend a lot more time on relationships. And we'll hit some more points that have to do with relationships in various other messages in the future. But simply put, the reason that we need to know a biblical perspective on relationships is because relationships matter to God, okay? And that is the most important thing to Him, is our relationship with Him. He loves us, and everything that He has ever done for us, and we find this in His Word, has been in pursuit of a deeper, closer, meaningful relationship with us. And so tonight, we're going to talk about the single most important relationship that we should have, and that's our relationship with God. Out of all the lessons to be taught in the Bible, there is one central theme that starts in Genesis and goes beyond the last book of the Bible to where you're sitting right now even, and it continues today. And that central theme is that God is trying to convey love to His people, love to us, love to you and I, specifically to us. And you can make that personal. When you see those things, when you read those things in the Word, when you read those things in the Bible, you can change those words to me, and you can insert your name in there, because the central theme is that He is in pursuit of you, okay? So who is God? Okay, if we're talking about a relationship with God, who is God? This can be a tough question that we try to answer with our own intelligence, but there are a lot of misconceptions about who God is, right? And I know you've probably heard some of these. Some people think of God as this kind of grandfather figure in the sky, you know, jump on my lap and I'm going to, you know, do this thing with my leg and I'm not going to say anything to offend you and I'm going to give you all kinds of sweets, you know, whatever you want to do in life. They think He is fragile, maybe, not able to defend you when you need it. He was just this too nice guy of a guy, you know. He's not that guy, all right? Some people see Him as this, you know, strict principal. You got to do this, waiting to thumb you as the guy who did the crime, you know. He's not that guy either. He's also not your good luck charm. You just pull the rabbit foot, pull God out when you need some good fortune. I'm in a pinch, God, I need you now, you know. He's not a vending machine. You just put in some coins, put in your time at church, put in whatever it is, and then you get, oh, God will show up and save you. Yes, He will, because He's faithful. But He wants so much more. He wants a deeper relationship with you. He wants that every day with you. And He's not an absent father either. Someone who you have to respect, but who's never there for you. The Bible gives us a picture of who God really is. It says in Scripture that He is spirit, okay? And that no man has seen Him at any time. But the Bible also says this in John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." And you'll notice the word is capitalized there. And you'll see why here in a second. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. You kind of have to read that again, don't you? So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Goes on to say, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. This is talking about who? Who is this talking about? It's talking about Jesus, when He came to earth as a man. The Word, God, became flesh, a man. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, Jesus, who came from the Father, God, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. Jesus made it known who God was, okay? Jesus said, if you see me, you see God. When we talk about the person of Jesus, he's the exact nature, or he's the exact essence of who God is. And Jesus also said something else. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only do what I see God do. So he was truly God, and he was living here on earth among us. If we want to know what God looks like and who he is, then we have to look at who Jesus is. So it sure seems that there are just as many perceptions of who Jesus is as there are people in the world, right? Like just from this video interview, that's just a few people on a New York street. But imagine if you were able to interview every person just in that one city, you would get such different perspectives each time you talk to them. How is it then that so many people can know of Jesus but don't really know who he is? And I realize that this can be a whole other message on sharing the gospel, but honestly, the gospel, the good news, is intertwined in every other message that there is. And so there's a real problem, I think, though, when Christians have failed at living the gospel in a way that attracts other people to him. And I failed at this too, because that's exactly how they get to know the truth of who Jesus really is to know him from us. That's how we knew who God was, because we knew who Jesus is. Jesus is much more than an enlightened man, as the guy said. He is the man, right? He's not a magician like David Copperfield, like the pigeon guy said. He's much more than another god that people worship, more than Gandhi, more than Muhammad, you know. He's God's son. He came to earth as a perfect man, and he disrupted the enemy's plan to destroy you and me, to destroy us. He disrupted the path of sin and gave his life for us. It wasn't good enough for someone to have even an ounce of sin, just a speck of sin in their life, to die for someone else. He had to be perfect, and Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. And so he did that, and now he wants a relationship with you. He has restored that relationship between God and us. Sin was in the way. It separated us. He has now restored that relationship. And so the only way that you can know God is through Jesus. He is the only way. So I want you to know him. So what does it mean to have a relationship with God? So the word relationship, cue definition, it's the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected. It's the state of being connected to something else. So a relationship with God would mean what? That we need to be connected with him, right? So how do we connect with God? How do we know him? Being in a right relationship with God means that you and I must first... We have to believe in him. In the Old Testament, there was this guy named Moses. How many of you guys heard of Moses, right? He was assigned by God to deliver his people out of Egypt because they were slaves. They'd been enslaved there for hundreds of years, and the Israelites were God's chosen people. And so after fleeing Egypt, Pharaoh finally let them go, right? They had to travel through the wilderness for 40 years before getting to the place that God promised them. And during their trek, at one point, the people started complaining, started speaking out against God, started speaking out against Moses, and started, you know, just belly aching about being in the desert, you know. And so God sent these fiery serpents, these snakes, to people, and they bit the people. And many of the people died. So what happened? Then the people came to Moses, who they were speaking out against and complaining to. Then they came to Moses, and they realized that they had sinned by speaking out against God. So they asked Moses to pray to God that he would take away the snakes. So God told Moses to make like a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And whenever anyone who had been bit would look upon the serpent on the pole, they would live and not die. Most of you have heard the passage in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. Let's take a look just a few verses before this and see what it says. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way to God. The Bible says that. It says no one comes to the Father but by Jesus. He's the only way we can have a relationship with God. Because God is holy and sin cannot be in his presence, we had to have somebody to step in who was without sin. That was Jesus. So the first step in coming to a relationship with God is like the Israelites did with Moses, recognizing that you have sinned. Repent. Decide that you're going to turn away from your sins. And recognize that the only way to be forgiven is by Jesus. Why is this important when we're talking about relationships, relationship with God? Well, that's the only way to have a relationship with God, okay? First, okay? There's other things that happen in your relationship with God, but that's the only way to start that relationship is to recognize that your sin separated you from Christ, from God, and that Christ came, stepped in the place of your sin, took the payment for your sin, and now, if you believe in him, that's your way to God. Okay, and now you have a bridge to get you to God for a relationship with him. Now, the next thing that you have to do in a relationship with God is that we need to communicate with him. We got to be in communication with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." So we can do that by prayer, and prayer is nothing more than a petition or an offering of thanks or just saying, "Hey, God, this is what's going on in my day." And honestly, it can be just like that. "Yo, God, this is what's happening in my day. This is not a good day." Or, "This has been a great day, God. Thank you for this day. You know, I know that you made it." Nothing fancy. Just begin talking with God. But then we also need to listen to what he says. And that's part of the communication. It's a two-way thing. We'll talk about that. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active." That's the Bible. "Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." As we begin to read the Word, and when we have that relationship, what happens when you first believe in God? In the Spirit, what happens? His Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. As you start to read the Word starts to identify with the Holy Spirit inside you, and it starts to convict you of sin. It starts to teach you things. It starts to give you peace when you need peace. It gives you knowledge when you need knowledge on something. As you read, later on, it comes back to you because the Holy Spirit is reminding you of these things. Okay, our relationship with God does imply a two-way street of communication to God, okay? When we pray to him, when we ask for things, when we talk to him, when we give him our troubles, give him our burdens, give him whatever's going on, and then communication that comes from him, okay? It's not just like a one-way. We see it a lot as a one-way thing because you physically don't see him. That's where the faith part comes in, right? And so listening for his voice, we can hear what he has to say by reading his word. That's the best way that we can do that. Now, we can listen for his voice in our hearts. He can speak to our hearts, and we can hear him as other people speak to us sometimes. There are some people that do that. That's just a few ways to hear him, and we've talked about the voice of God before. But understanding God's love for us is the single most important thing in drawing close to him, because it's in his love that he has redeemed us. He's redeemed us, saved us from our sins. He's given us eternal life, and he wants us to live a fruitful life for him. His love looks something like this. It's the most important relationship that you'll ever choose to have, the one you choose to have with God, Okay. And that was just another way of saying what I had already said in the message. The message stays the same. The delivery will come a lot of different ways, but the message is the same. But it's up to you to trust Him with your life. All right, tonight I want everyone just to bow your heads, close your eyes. There might be two groups of people in this room. And one group, you might be in that group. You've never made that public decision to trust in Jesus as your Savior. So you recognize that you need to turn from your sin and you want to turn to God by doing, and by doing that, you're saying, God, I want what you have for me. Forgive me of my sins. I want a new heart. I want a new life. But no one else can do that for you. It's one of those decisions that you have to make for yourself. So if that's you with your head bowed, your eyes closed, and you're saying, yes, I want to have a relationship with Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity right now with no one looking around. I just want you to raise your hand so I can see you, okay? And you're saying, God, I realize my sins have kept me from you, and I want a relationship with you. So if that's you, you can raise your hand. There could be another group, which might be the larger one, and that is at one point in your life, you made a decision to trust in Jesus as your Savior. You already did that. But you've gotten away from what He wants for you. And so the great news is that He's there. He's waiting for you to return to Him. His arms are open. He's always waiting for you. And so you realize that you need to come back to Him. And so maybe if that's you, if you belong in that group, would you just raise your hand right now? I have sure been there. And I just want to lift you up in prayer. God, thank you that you are always faithful to take us back like the prodigal son. No matter how far we've run from you, when once we're yours, we're yours. And you're there waiting for us when we return. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love. And you show that love in so many mysterious ways sometimes, God. And we thank you that just we can just turn around just 180 back to you, and you're there waiting for us. Forgive us when we fail you, God. Give us the strength and give us the wisdom to pursue you. Protect us from the influences that misdirect us, that catch us off guard or keep us off track, God. Protect our hearts. Put a hedge around us that just protects us, God. Thank you for everything you're doing in the lives of each person here. We glorify you. It's your name we pray. Amen.